Welcome to the Indiana On Tap podcast. This is episode 11. I'm your host, Matt. Dustin decided once again not to join us today. He had better things to do. He's not fired. Don't worry. Don't want anyone to think that again. But we did replace him with three gentlemen from 812 Farms from down in Columbus. Let's go around, introduce yourselves, tell us what you do for 812 Farms.
I'm Aaron Harden, and I'm a co-owner, and I have a day job, but that's my part-time job, I guess, right there.
My name's Todd Nash, and what I'm doing is bringing the indoor hop growing to 812 Farms. So we're going to do year-round hydroponic, narrowponic, fresh wet hops.
Interesting. I'm Joe Oliphant. I'm the other co-owner.
Okay.
Yeah, part-time job.
All right. Well, thank you guys for driving all the way up here on a nice little Sunday.
Not a problem.
To join us. Love thank it. You for bringing the beer. Typically, we pour from the bottoms up system, but we ran out of beer. We put one down and it immediately blew. Brad had told me I should probably grab a keg, and I didn't really listen, and that's what happens. So luckily, you guys brought a good amount of beer with you. So we decided to drink 450 North Space Haze, which you said was just released on Friday.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Cane Wednesday.
That's pretty nice. This is a double dry hopped pale ale, dry hopped with Mosaic lupulin powder, which I've never seen that before, at least written on a can. So can you guys tell me, do you know how that works? How you dry hop with powder?
They're actually now extracting the oils and acids out of the hop cones. And they're doing it through either a steam or like CO2. Extract method. They'll dry that down into a solid consistency, and then they'll grind it into a powder, and then they can package it. It keeps it more shelf stable. It's very concentrated, and they can mix and make different flavors.
It's pretty much hash with hops.
It's, okay. It is hash with hops. 100%.
All right. So this is a New England IPA. This is really good. I love what 450 North has been putting out. We were talking before the podcast, we don't get a lot of it up here because they tend to sell most of it at the brewery, and that's quite a hike from up here. Mm-hmm. But I really like this. It's 5.4% ABV, 40 IBUs, so it's not super hoppy, super bitter. It's a nice balance, and it has that nice New England juice flavor to it. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Exactly. I mean, that's,
I love this.
We love it. This is kind of what we want to model our brewery after, you know, this kind of style of IPAs, kind of trying to be a Trillium in the Midwest, if you will.
Okay.
Something like that. So yeah, we all three, this is some of our favorite beer, same style, you know, we're all hopheads, so it kind of works out.
We're definitely biased to IPAs.
Yeah, absolutely we are.
Don't get me wrong, I'll drink a stout or a porter too, you know, a good pilsner, lager, anything, but 450 right now just seems to be killing it in this local market with the IPAs, and this one again just came out. This is the first time I've had it is just now, and it's the super low ABV, you know, it's more like a session ale with flavor. Mm-hmm. Great flavor, so definitely worth the drive to go find some before it sells out.
Yeah, especially, and if it's up here, which I'll have to find out after we get done recording to see if maybe they've shipped in any of this up to Indianapolis. Definitely worth finding and buying a six pack of.
Absolutely.
So let's get some of the quick stuff out of the way here. This podcast is sponsored by the Indiana On Tap Taste and Society Marketplace, which is Indiana's premier craft beer membership and rewards program. For only $59.95 a year, you can get 165 plus offers, and it's always growing. Here on the Indiana On Tap mobile app. And that's good for over $900 towards free and discounted flights, growler fills, pints, food, glassware, you name it, you get it. From more than over 105 different breweries and participating locations. Wow. So they have different stuff on there. Hopcat is one of them. There's the Charlie Creek Inn, which is a hotel up in Wabash, Indiana. So, you know, a lot of places that do some craft beer stuff but are not breweries. So that's pretty cool. Go ahead. For our listeners, you can use the promo code PODCAST, and you'll get $10 off of your membership. So if you want more information and obviously sign up, visit www.tasteandsocietymarketplace.com. Next up here, Jockey Box Hero. Have you guys heard about this?
Yeah, absolutely. Like a good time.
So that's going to be Saturday, August 4th from 4 to 8 at the Hatch in Broad Ripple. Kind of the big news, it's been like, I don't know, almost a month since we recorded a podcast. Since then, they announced that the WZPL Smiley Morning Crew is going to be the celebrity judges. And then they somehow wrangled William Hung from American Idol.
Really?
Wow. To come down and participate. Okay. I'm not sure what they offered that guy, but
totally worth it.
Something good.
So that's taking place again Sunday, August 12th. Tickets still available: $45 for VIP, $35 for general admission. And then during that time, it's a beer fest with a live band karaoke competition. So get out there, drink a lot of beer, watch William Hung sing his one hit wonder, and I don't know, that'll be a lot of fun. I'm really upset because I don't get to go to that.
She bangs.
Yeah. And the last one we got here, Meadful Things and Outsiders. Have you guys heard of that one?
No, I have
not.
So, New Day Craft, which is in Fountain Square.
Okay.
Last year, the owner decided that she wanted to put on a festival that was geared towards only meads and ciders.
Okay.
And so she rounded up an amazing list of people from not just across the country, but across the world.
Really?
And had them show up. And it was honestly, for a first year festival of any kind, was one of the best things I went to last year.
That's awesome.
There was very minimal of like, this needs to change or this needs to change. It was
people
just
went and
it was perfect. And
nice.
So that is taking place Saturday, September 2nd. That's 2 to 6 for VIP people, 3 to 6 for general admission. Tickets, I don't have the price written down here. Awesome. So tickets you have to buy before the event. They do not do day of sales tickets. She said that she likes to know about how many kegs she needs to buy because they buy all the kegs. So that way it's not anybody possibly getting screwed out or anything like that. So the way they're doing it's really nice. Over 150 different varieties from 40 plus meat and cider makers.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was a lot.
That's a lot.
And it's one of those things that people bring the good stuff, like the bourbon barrel aged ones.
Cool. Nice.
The Viking's Blood is like an 11% mead. So by the time you've done plenty, you're like, this is amazing. I don't feel sick. I don't feel anything. And then you stand up and you're like, nope. We're going to be here a while. They'll have food out there. And just like last year, thanks to FACE, which is the animal shelter place that sits in the same complex, you can adopt some puppies and kittens. And they'll also have them out there for you to play with if you want. That was actually kind of neat, but... So check those out. We will be there. Come say hi to us. Come drink with us. All that fun stuff. Anything you guys are going to?
August 26th, we will be at the Hoosier Hops and Harvest Festival at the Story Inn.
Oh, okay.
And that's one of the coolest beer festivals in the state. And the reason why is it's small. There's usually, 15 to 18 breweries. And they cap the people at like a couple hundred. So you're never waiting in line for more than, a few minutes.
Oh, nice.
It's super cool.
It's out in the woods.
It's out in one inconvenient location since 1851 is their motto. And that's seriously how it is. It's hard to get to, but it's worth getting there.
Well, that's cool. I mean, it's a small venue, so you get to talk to the people that are there, and they can really get into what they make and be with you. You know, it's not just grabbing a glass and going. You're part of it.
Oh, you guys are part of the Corn Maze?
Okay, so the Corn Maze is September 23rd.
Oh, it's that soon?
Yeah, but the week before that is September 16th, and that's Nawbrew. And that's a beer festival there in Brown County, which most of us, two out of three, are from Brown County.
I go there a lot.
One of our friends actually is the guy who founded it and puts it on.
Oh, okay.
So we're actually a sponsor at all three of those events.
Oh, nice.
So we'll have a booth set up. We should have beer for the Hoosier Hops by August 26th. We've been working with a brewer, getting our stuff in line. So that should be ready to pour by then. So we should have beer at all three events. Get our name out there, let people know what we're about, try our beer. So we got three of them this summer.
Apparently, we need to catch up on all the beer events that are. we'll have a couple, but
we'll have some tickets for you guys for sure.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah, let us know. We'll definitely make that trip down there. All right. So, a little bit of beer news here. Like I said, it's been a couple weeks since we had our last show. Not seen a ton of hard-hitting news outside of kind of what I brought today, but the first one, Mad Anthony out of Fort Wayne, they were forced to rebrand their Hop Squatch IPA to Mosaic Moon. So reading through the press release that they had, basically they said last winter they received a cease and desist for the Hop Squatch name from a large brewing conglomerate. I don't know who that is, but I'm going to assume it's probably...
I know it's an Arizona brewery, because the name of the beer is Hop Squash. Like, you know, summer squash?
Oh, really?
That's the name of the beer, is Hop Squash. And it's
kind
of
odd.
It's an Arizona brewery. I do know that, because I talked to Neil about that.
Interesting.
And, yeah.
Probably owned by AB InBev.
Probably.
That's too bad. You know, you see these breweries that go out like Mad Anthony and brand something, and that was a phenomenal beer.
You see it
everywhere. And, you know, they had Hop Squash, and they had Hop Squash 2. Great IPA, super heavy hopped, and you know, and then you got big beer coming in trying to, oh, you were too close to our name. Well, that's come on, you know.
Yeah,
it's the craft industry,
and
we're not taking over.
They said, like, you know, when you're coming up with names and stuff, eventually you're gonna get close.
You know,
enough.
We got 5,300 and some breweries. You know, with how many thousands, or 100,000 different names of beers, it's gonna happen.
Exactly.
Know, so. So that's off to the Mad Anthony, you know.
Yeah. So they said, you know, instead of spending all this time and money on fighting it, like, screw it, we'll just rebrand. I think the new name is better. Just, I don't know. I like, there's just something about it that
the
I like better than Hop Squatch. Mosaic Mood. Like, I don't know. It just rolls off the tongue.
I did like that their label art, though. That was pretty, pretty dope.
Yeah. My biggest thing with this is, from what I've always read, there's one guy in Washington, D.C. who approves all labels and, I believe, names.
Yep.
Maybe not names, but at least labels.
Labels, yeah.
So, I guess, like, if it's something that you are putting out to the public in a can or a bottle, it feels odd that there's not, like, a database or something that you could go through. Because, like...
To check. Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. Did they... Is it just simply that this name was all of a sudden trademarked? And they felt it was too close, but then it's like it's Hop Squatch versus Hop Squash, like, and you're in two different cities.
Yeah.
You're not even like it's not like
thousands of miles apart.
Yeah, Matt Anthony's not. Yeah, so I understand people got to protect a trademark and stuff, but sometimes I feel like they just go overboard. And, so that sucks. But that just goes to show why a lot of people really dislike and really hate on, you know. That's why we got so much of the Wicked Weed backlash. It wasn't simply just because they got bought out or, you know, sold out, whatever you want to call it. It's just because of the way AB InBev handles their
everything.
Business. And, yeah, it's just not fun.
The only thing good about them is their tour.
That's what I've heard.
It's an excellent
tour. Yeah, I've heard it's good. I mean,
it's great.
You got to respect the brewers of the place and the craft that they do. But... Yeah, the business side of it, I'm good. The other big news out of Indy this week was Sun King. They're going to be distributing to Chicago and Louisville. This is the first time they are distributing outside of the state of Indiana. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of cool. They've been around for, 8 years now, I think it was?
Phenomenal growth.
Great. 2009,
I think they just had their 8 year.
Love it. That, you know, Indiana based, you got to support them. They're great people.
It's funny. They didn't even get across, like, statewide distribution until 2016. And, like, they've just picked up crazy speed.
Well, because they hit that bottleneck with how much they could make, which was the stupidest law.
Idea.
Yeah, you can make 30,000 barrels, but if you're going to go outside of that, you can make more. And you're like, what? Like, why? No, I just want to at least get the people in Indiana. Wouldn't you want that to stay
get
in
the penetration
your,
right where you're
wouldn't
at.
You want that money to stay in your state?
Yeah.
No, the laws in Indiana, a lot of other places are just so dumb. But luckily, they fought that. They won that, which is good to know that Sun King has kind of hit that growth to where when they do something and then they can get the guys from, like, Three Floyds to back them, like, there's enough kind of power there to start getting some of these changes made. So they're coming out swinging too. A lot of places when they first go out, they only take like three or four beers, and that's kind of what they distribute. They're doing the Cream Ale, the Wee Mac, Osiris. Then they're going to be doing Pechanga, Fistful of Hops, Oktoberfest, and a rotating IPA series, along with some specialty and even some of their reserve beers. So that's a lot to just immediately... I mean, I know they can make it all too, but it's a lot to be shipping out. But Chicago, Louisville, that's pretty good. I'm assuming probably like Cincinnati will probably be next on that list.
I would think so. That's a good market.
Yeah, that seems to be a crossover market, as of with, especially with Rheingeist coming over.
I'd just be real funny to go straight to St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great craft area.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's and the beer over there is quality.
We like our trips there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just got Rheingeist here, which is nice.
They're going to be pouring at the... What's the beer festival on the 22nd at Military Park?
Oh, the micro?
Yeah, the micro brewery festival. Rheingeist will be there, I believe, pouring.
Yep. They'll be at our Taste Society event, which is this Friday coming up. I'm not sure how they get that worked in there.
The bar over there is pretty nice. Mm-hmm. I like it.
So, Clay had said in the press release, we haven't sold our beer outside the state due to constraints caused by our own capacity and restrictions that were in place because of antiquated state laws. Having worked to increase Indiana's barrelage limitations and increase Sun King's capacity to make more beer, we're now in position to not only meet the demands of Hoosiers throughout the state, but also to share our beer in other markets where craft beer enthusiasts want to enjoy it. And I mean, that's true all around. I know people in Chicago absolutely love getting Sun King. I mean, that's any market, though. Like, Sun King is probably... are most known outside Indiana. Of them and Three Floyds. Everybody knows them.
I mean, everybody has Wee Mac and Cream Ale. I mean, it's just, man, you can't miss.
And so anybody wants to get those, the same as, like, we would love to get Trillium and places like that to be here. And slow but sure, we're starting to see some of the big boys cross over the lines. But Lakeshore Beverage up in Chicago and River City distributing in Louisville are both going to be handling those. So that's kind of cool. Nice. That is nice. It'll be cool to travel to those places and actually see some of that stuff on tap. The other thing that happened over the last couple weeks was the Indiana Brewers Cup. So I didn't read enough into this.
You mean the Daredevil Cup?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good Lord. I was like looking over the winners again last night, and I was like, so they had 6 medals? All right, that explains why they just dominated everything. The only thing I didn't understand is why there were non-Indiana breweries in this thing.
That's what we were talking about. We literally talked about
it. All right, so yeah, I didn't do my due diligence in trying to find that out, but will eventually.
But yeah, they had Ohio, Kentucky, and Illinois, I think.
Rheingeist was in here. Braxton Brewing, which is out of Kentucky, was in here. Metal Monkey Brewing, which is out of Illinois.
Okay.
Wolf Ridge Brewing out of Columbus, Ohio. So yeah, there were some ones that I was like, I've heard of these places.
Rheingeist.
And they're really good, but I don't understand why they're in the Indiana
Brewers. Yeah, should be like a national type of brewer deal, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. And because that seems pretty limited, too. Like, you only have like 4 or 5, so how many maybe entered that didn't win? I don't know. I'll have to get on the horn with Ron Smith and see if I can find out.
I love Ron. Yeah. Such a cool dude.
Have you taken his class?
No, but we're going to.
So much fun.
We're definitely going to.
Yeah, that's a long Uber ride, but...
Okay.
Yeah, awesome. You'll feel it by the time you're done with the class. It's like, what, 3 hours long?
I think so,
you're just drinking beer the entire time.
Awesome.
That's all you do.
That's what I like to hear.
So the Brewers Cup, as you guys noted, Daredevil won. They won 6 medals. So they took home Indiana Brewery of the Year, and then the Grand Champion Brewery. I mean, killing
that
it.
Awesome.
Yeah, they seem to be on the come up, which sounds odd, but like you just see them talked about more and more, especially over the last couple years with the Kolsch's and the IPAs they've been making. It just seems like you hear about them a lot more than what you initially did. Some of the interesting ones: Sun King took first place for their Pechanga, which they just released.
I don't think I've had that before.
It's good. It's like a little Mexican lager.
Okay.
Really?
It's phenomenal.
All right.
One of the interesting ones I found, New Day Craft, took first, second, and third place for the mead.
Okay.
So I'm guessing they're the only ones who entered that. All their mead is fantastic, so it wouldn't surprise me.
Fact
that Breakfast Magpie took third place.
That's my favorite.
That's everyone's favorite. Yeah. And it's like, and it took third. It's like, I don't know about these rankings here. But then in the cider category, they didn't win anything.
Really?
Yeah. So it was Noble Order, Rheingeist, and then Ashen Elm took third.
Ooh, Ashen Elm's good.
I love Ashen Elm. And so I just thought it was funny that you win three medals in mead and then you don't win in cider when that's all you do is mead and cider.
Have you had 450 North Cider, Gnarly Grove?
Yes. I had the only one I've had, I think, is the Berry.
The Berry, okay.
Yeah.
They make a dry hop cider that's, like, phenomenal.
That sounds pretty good.
It's really good.
I love ciders.
Yeah, I'm just now getting into the cider scene. At first, it was just, like, too sour, and then my palate changed. I enjoyed it very much now. I mean, I don't think anything local I've tried much. But
some places are the only ones I have trouble with are like that the ones that are apple orchards and then they decide to make ciders.
Okay,
they're just so
too
hit
sugary
or miss.
And just,
yeah. There's some that are just when you're not doing it, kind of as like that full time gig.
It's more
just
fake flavor.
You got to put
it. Is that bad that we're going to be a hop farm opening up a brewery?
I mean, you grow your ingredients, so
absolutely.
That's like, probably a farm-to-table type of restaurant and bar and brewery, and there's going to be a wedding barn out there, so it's going to be a lot of events.
Okay,
you know.
So and then Chili Water won like three or four different awards out of here. They're another one that I know is definitely getting a lot of talk.
They work a lot with
Indy
High friends, Indy High Binds.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
their hop farm, Ryan and Casey, and
Their
hops are amazing. They're great guys.
Yeah.
And they help Chili Water and Mashcraft a lot.
Oh, nice.
Oh, man, their beer is just so good.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And they're getting quality Indiana-grown hops.
Absolutely.
I mean, when you can't get any better, I don't think.
I just like the ones that they're just starting to make new and different things, like, all the time. Like, it's it's kind of that Sun King model. You have your three or four year-round beers, but then after that, it's you just make whatever you want because it sounds good, and then we'll put it out, and if it works, it works.
Absolutely.
We'll keep bringing it back, and Chili Water is definitely doing that. So definitely a lot of that. Big one, second place in the Scottish Irish Ale, our friends from Evil Check for the O'Keefe's Irish Red. I believe he has officially left for Croatia, so kind of cool to see.
Yeah, that's right.
To see Simon win one before he leaves.
I forgot he was going to move.
Yep, that's a bummer. That was hanging out with those guys so much fun.
They got some good beer too.
Yeah.
Those same guys I was talking about, Indy Highbinds, they work with Evil Check a lot too.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's interesting. That'll be something to talk about after this last story, because I am kind of curious. Like, we have a lot of hop farms now here, or at least it seems like a lot
of farms, but not a lot of acreage.
But it just kind of seeing how many places actually get it all from maybe them, or if they have to go out. But the last one that you guys might have a solid opinion on, since you're opening up a brewery, the Brewers Association has announced an independent craft brewer seal.
Yeah, absolutely.
That you can put on all of your marketing stuff.
Absolutely.
And,
free of charge, too. That's excellent.
For now.
Yep.
Yeah.
For now.
For now.
Yep. Yeah. So, as long as you meet their craft brewer definition and have some other things, then, you can use this label. They've already shown some mock-ups from Dogfish Head and Left Hand Brewery and stuff, places like that. So, this is, it's just going to be a seal. I think the logo is hideous, but that's just me. It's an upside down bottle, which with independent craft, the thing that bugs me is independent is spaced out into three lines.
I got to give them the huge kudos, though. I mean, this is needed. You know, as the craft beer market expands and you get the general public that goes from drinking mainstream beers, you know, they're buying it, whether it's a grocery store or Kroger's or a local liquor store. You know, they don't know who's independent, who's not. And so they start buying craft beer and thinking, well, we're supporting this, we're into it. And they don't realize this label, this little symbol, hideous, not hideous, whatever, at least is a huge heads up of, hey, we're supporting our guys in Indiana, or we're supporting our next door neighbors in Cincinnati, or what. Yep. These guys started this. It's theirs. They're doing it. We're not giving it to AB InBev or someone. And they make great beers. And you know, they've got some really good craft breweries they bought. They bought them because they were excellent beers.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that want to support, you know, this industry, is support the growers, support the malts, support the, you know, the breweries themselves. This is a huge, huge plus, and I love it. I think it's great.
I think the thing is you, it shows it's craft. You know, it's a craft product. You know, you AB InBev, I don't care. It's turned industrialized, so it's not craft anymore. To me, that's a personal opinion. When your hands are off of it, you're not in and there mixing it up anymore. I think you get into the point where it's an industrial product. And I think that's what we're trying to get away from. And a lot of people in the United States are trying to get away from it.
That makes sense. I have a trouble with the craft definition as it saying, simply because places like Wicked Weed, like, they're probably still making the beer exactly how they were making it.
There's more, they
have more marketing, they have more distribution. There's a reason why they sold everything, but I'm sure they're still making it exactly the way they did. There's nothing else. They just have...
It gave them the finances to go ahead and expand and get a bigger barrel system or... Yeah.
And I'm not hating on anybody for that either. You know,
distribution. And I love some of the beers. I mean, you know, some of them that have been out there. You know, take a look at Goose Island. You take a look at Lyson.
Huge.
You know, these are great beers, and I love them. But, you know, when we do want to support our local people, this gives the public, the person buying... the chance to know, this is my neighbor, this is my friend, this is the
people right
here. We need
to educate them too. You know, let them know.
I kind of went through and looked over just some everyday people like me, like what they were thinking when this came out. And the biggest thing I saw was, what happens when 40% of the craft brewers don't do this? Like, if I walk up and I don't know if you are independent or not, is that going to affect your sales? And then eventually you get on, but what if you just think this is silly? Like, because there are a lot of people who are getting to the point that it's like, this is becoming ridiculous. Like, I'm gonna buy beer whether I like it or not. I'm gonna buy Goose Island.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people like me who I'll buy from time to time, like the Goose Island stuff, but for the most part I'm gonna try and stay away because I don't like what BA or AB does.
Yeah.
But at the same point, like, do I need a craft thing to tell me that it's not? Like,
Well, not really.
No, I feel like we're coming to a point where it's just going to be too much. There's too much of this fighting within everything that it's just like, it's beer. Like, just
enjoy
drink it. Yeah. Like, if you want to try something, try it. You know, it's not like your $6 or your $10 that you spend on a pack of Goose Island isn't going to make or break, you know, AB InBev or anybody at this point, you know, and if that's what you want to drink, then drink it. You probably don't know. There's stuff that we buy all the time that probably supports some really shady business practices that you just don't know about because you don't follow it, because this is what we do in the beer industry. Like, if you're really into it, you just know about all the shady little stuff. But I'm on the fence with the independent thing. I think it'll be interesting to see how it's used, though. I guess some people were like printing it out and posting it on the brewery doors, just to kind of throw it out there.
We are independent.
Would this be something that you guys would put on your stuff?
Yeah, 100%.
Put it on the door.
We don't have any plans right now to distribute.
We
definitely put it on the door.
You know, I've got some close personal friends that actually own liquor stores in the area too, and so, you know, talking with them about it, you know, unfortunately, big beer. And it tears down through their distribution, has controlled that shelf space, and they have their hands tied. You know, they're only allowed a certain percentage per square foot of shelf space to go outside of big beer, or they get limited.
We were just talking about that with Vernon Liquors.
And it's huge. Yeah. And so that independent label, you know, kind of lets it stand out and say, well, you know, we're there. We're going to support our local people. And then you'll see that big area that's supposedly craft, but it's owned by big beer. And
I think that's scary. I think people,
the public don't know.
Be one of the next big things is the bottle shops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's not a lot of them. Even in other states. I know we have Party Pack, which is huge on craft beer and stuff. Yeah. But you just don't see a lot of that.
Not around here. There's a monster one in Louisville. It's phenomenal.
It seems like every place kind of has one that stands out.
Yep. Walk in and you're like, oh, wow. Yeah, I'll take it.
But then there are the places like not all Big Reds and stuff, but those kind of places where, like you said, they're just limited. They don't have a lot of shelf space.
Yeah, the locally owned, you get controlled by Big Beer.
There's a grocery store. It's kind of a, I don't know what you call that, like an organic and ethnic grocery store called Sahara Mart in Bloomington. And their beer selection is second to none. It's like a mini Jungle Gym. Have you ever been to Jungle Gyms?
I've not, but I've heard about it.
Okay, great, so place. It's kind of like pretty that, but like smaller. They've got probably seven or eight aisles of nothing but beer from across the world. And I don't know if they have any AB products in there.
That's incredible.
I think it's all craft.
It seems
brew.
Like some of the best are the ones that you would never expect.
Absolutely. Someone just told me about that one time. I went in there and I was like, holy smokes.
Yeah, there's like a liquor store out on the east side of Indy. That's one of those ones where you're like, I'm not going to go in there. Like, we're just going to stay away. Found out apparently has one of the best craft beer selections.
Huge cult following.
And you're just like, are you joking me? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
A little secret society.
Yeah, it's interesting. So that's kind of all for the news. You guys want some more beer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
We love beer.
Try something new.
Brad, I guess I'm going to have to go off of Mike here.
Just speak real loud.
Yeah.
Wow. Space Ace is good, isn't it, man?
I like this. Not surprised.
I mean, I like that hazy Pilsner,
unfiltered
Pilsner malt.
Yeah. It's great.
Man, just makes me feel good inside.
I'm still on the rebound.
I'll get you some more cups,
man. I think those are pretty cool. Those
are cool, man.
Where you bottoms up filling.
Yeah, it's super cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's pretty neat.
There was a Bank Canyon there, I think, as well.
Oh.
Is Goldenrod owned by AB InBev?
It's out of California.
Probably is. Look it up. Let's find out.
It's a good little session.
Let's try not to drink any of that.
Goldenrod Brewing.
Yep, AB. Bought by him in September.
Let's say, I don't know why I felt like that was.
September 2015.
I like that high res.
Well, I go to the Colts games a lot, right? And there's no good beer on the bottom floor where we're at. Like, if we want Indiana craft beer, we have to go up to the fourth floor. It takes 25 minutes to get up there and 35 minutes to get back to your seats. But just recently, around the corner from where we sit, they started putting in a 10 Barrel Joe IPA and Space Dust Elysian. And, like, me and, Joe and Olive and I, we go to the games a lot, and we were sitting there drinking. And I'm like, oh, this is great beer. And then, like, we were like, I wonder how this is down here. And we found out that the reason why it's on the bottom floor is because AB owns it, Yep.
So now we walk back to the top.
Yeah, now we walk back to the top. We get Tin Man Overlord, We get some Evil Check stuff up there.
Yeah.
And I think they got some more stuff up there. They got some Quaff on and...
They usually have the Osiris, right?
Well, that's downstairs, too.
Yeah.
But I like a little more hoppy IPA than, just a pale, so...
That's how Conseco is. There's like one spot that sells Indiana.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I tell you what, we went to the Indiana Grand Racing Casino last night. Grapefruit Jungle on at all the taps.
Wow,
it was great. I wish that stuff was out year round.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoy it very much. Even though the ladies decided to get entirely way too intoxicated.
We babysat last night. We definitely babysat last night.
Okay.
I think the real question is, did you win any money?
Yeah. We came out.
I came out $20 ahead.
Okay. I came out even. So. I lost $60 on the horses, and then I won $60 on the slot, so I come out even.
Yeah, I think I bet about $50 on the horses, and we hit that one waiting for Brittany. Yeah, it came out $20 ahead. It was nice.
That's good time. I'd never been there before. It's a good time.
First time I ever won.
It's a nice little place.
Have you had this Rainbow Drops?
I have not.
Oh, it's very tasty.
I've not had any of this.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
Oh, no, I've had the dank candy. I'm sorry.
Well, which one have you had? The Rainbow Drops?
Oh, no.
Okay, so there's...
Yeah,
that's a series. They do 4 years. So they've got the Lollipop Dream. They've got the Gummy Haze. They've got the dank candy. Or the... Rainbow Drops, and then they're getting ready to come out with a bubble gum. Yeah. They do some crazy brews down there.
Mm-hmm. I had one.
That new brewer's got new stuff. Not
sure what it was, though.
He's been homebrewing for a long time in Columbus.
Man, I tell you right now, he's taking their beer game to the next level for
sure.
Yeah,
he has. Their IPA game's on point.
Brad, did you like that beer over there?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
I'll make sure to bring some up to him next time I go I'm up here.
Thanks, sir. 1 through 4. Okay.
Sure, we got
so I give my groomsman for my groomsman gifts. I give my big flight paddle and glasses.
Oh, yeah, I was part of that. I still got it.
My buddy got me these for Christmas last year. He was just like, I saw them and I figured you didn't have them.
I'm sure we have a friend. That's good. I'm sure we have a friend down south that'll make them for you, handmade.
Once he made mine, Jesse.
Jesse. Mm-hmm.
All right. So no video this week, so you don't get to see the wonderful beers that we get to drink, but. Yeah, so this first one is 6 Point Puff. Yeah, it's a 9.8% ABV, 108 IBU.
Wow,
unfiltered ale. So, wow, this is.
You may want to start with a Wolf Puff. You're not going to be able to taste anything after that.
Yeah, that actually might be a good point.
Should we move that to the rear here?
I would.
You know that.
You know it's gonna.
That and the double IPA.
Yeah, that's probably sec.
Yeah. All right, yeah, we'll get the AB one out of the way. So, someone brought Goldenrod Brewing Wolf Pup Session IPA. Yeah, it's that one on the end. Indian Pale Ale. I don't see anything on here about which doesn't surprise me. 4.5% ABV. That's it. That's all we got.
Yeah, they were trying to go up against Founders, you know, all day IPA.
Yeah, I doubt it.
It didn't work.
There's a brewery in we had the at Winterfest. I don't know if it was Round Town or no, it was some Trouble. TRUB.
Yeah.
Man, their session IPA was holy smokes good.
Yeah,
it was
amazing. They make some decent beer. All right, I'll give it to Goldenrod. That's actually pretty good.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. Right. It's pretty good.
Just, I wish they wouldn't have sold out.
Yeah.
Yeah, until somebody, somebody offers you a couple $1 million.
They're on a boat laughing right now.
Right? It's like, hey, if someone else is going to buy it, I'll drink it.
Yeah.
4.2%.
I mean, it's not the first time we've had AB beers on here.
Yeah.
We had some Goose Island stuff. We had part of their Cooper series, I think it was what it was called. It was an amazing Scotch Strong Ale that they hadn't released yet. The guy that we had
it's
on
pretty good.
Somehow got a bottle of it.
I like it. I like all beer, really. But
yeah.
What's Goose Island's big sought after? What's that, Bourbon County Stout
or something? Bourbon County?
Like that? Yeah, that's always a... It's always a hot commodity on beer trading sites that I frequent.
Yeah. I wasn't too thrilled with this year's, but...
I've never had it. Well, I think... Was this year's the ones where a lot were infected?
And
had
that
like,
was last year.
Oh, last year. Okay. I remember that. Yeah, last year. Refunds and stuff.
Yeah. Wow. Yep. They had a couple that got infected last year. But, I mean, it happens with the best of them. You never know what's going to happen. This year, I think there was some issue with the coffee variety. On like one batch, like went bad or something. But not the end of the world. Yeah. I may have a bottle chilling out in my cellar. So next time I see you guys, I'll have to bring it down.
Oh, yeah.
That'll work. Let's do it.
It's one of those ones that it's always worth trying. Like,
yeah
you're giving money to someone you don't want to, but you got to at least say you tried it.
Their kids got to eat too, I guess.
Right. So what we do. All right, so next one I guess we'll do is this insert hop reference. This is BrewLink Brewing's Hoppy American Pale Ale. This stuff is really good.
Is that, number two, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, hoppy yet sessionable pale ale bursting with citrusy array of grapefruit and orange.
Yeah, that one.
They got anything. 5.8% ABV. Everything BrewLink does is amazing.
Our Lord's the man.
Have you had the... the peanut butter one?
No, I don't think so. No, I haven't had that. I usually go for the IPAs.
You're a peanut butter freak. You probably love it.
I love peanut butter.
I'm not big into peanut butter, and it's fantastic.
Okay.
You like that, Dylan?
It's got a good mouthfeel, too.
Mm-hmm.
Smooth.
Not bad. It's drinkable. Palatable.
That's it.
Like water. Drink it all day.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
What's the ABV on that?
5.8.
All right.
Probably good.
That's doable.
Right. Isn't that what John Daly said on the Pat McAfee show?
That say,
he basically he drinks beer all day because it's got water in it.
Been drinking Miller Lite since I'm Miller Lite guy. I always have been since I was 8.
Yeah. 8? Yeah. Just talks about drinking beer all. Well, he's like, I don't drink any water. I just drink beer.
Full flavored water.
That is good stuff, though.
It's not bad. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Plainfield, too.
So with the with your guys' hop farm, when did you guys start that?
So this will be our third harvest this year.
Okay.
We had it going in our minds about a year before that, so for about 4 years. Did a bunch of research, traveled around, talked to how many brewers we visited, talked to the brewers and owners. Shoot.
15, 20?
Oh, I was going to say 40.
Maybe.
A bunch. Like, we pretty much traveled around and drank beer with brewers and owners for like a few months straight.
Well, and then Ryan, we met up with Ryan.
Yeah, then, you know, like I said, the hop growing community has just been phenomenal. I mean, they're just such good people. Ryan Hammer he started out with Three Hammers Farms, and now he has partnered with another guy, Josh Martin, and they have Crazy Horse Hops. I'm not sure, you've probably heard of them. They're huge now.
I talked to them.
28 acres.
Last year at some point.
Good people. They started in Ryan's grandparents' backyard with a quarter acre, and now they've got 28 acres and...
big new building.
I think they're getting ready to get some financing to put in another 80 acres. So, I mean, already they're the biggest hop farm in Indiana by far. the next biggest one's probably Howe Farms, maybe.
Okay.
Up in Crown Point.
Mm-hmm.
Steve's really such good a good guy. Dude.
Great people.
Great guy. I mean, anytime we have questions,
both of them,
all three of us, you know, we'll call Steve or we'll call Ryan and Casey from Indy High Vines. But, yeah, just such a community effort, and we have meetings, Indiana Hop Growers Association, about once every 2 months or so. We actually missed the last one. It was up in Valpo, and we just
that's didn't, a long drive.
We had an investor meeting that day, so we weren't making it. But no, man, it's been a lot of fun. We've met a lot of cool people, not only the growers but the brewers, you know, the owners, the patrons. And that's kind of like what we thought about, you know. That was our first, everybody's question when we started was, oh, are you going to open up a brewery? No, because we don't have to brew beer.
Right.
We just like to drink.
But the more we thought about it, and then, our farm's on an old golf course. You know, it's got a bunch of barns. One nice old barn that's going to be a wedding venue that our wives are going to run. And so my father-in-law bought it, and it's all corn and soybeans, but he gave us the front couple acres and all the barns and stuff, and we're working with Todd, putting in an indoor hop yard, so we can, he'll tell you about this, it's incredible, but we're going to be out of wet hop beers year-round, and I'll let him talk about it, but he's got a certain plan implement flavor infusion in the root systems of hops.
Okay.
Because our brewery is going to be 100% Indiana grown ingredients, or, you know, from Indiana companies. But some of our favorite beers use Citra and Mosaic and, you know, Simcoe and all that. Well, we can't grow that. Not only because, you know, it's a patented variety. You know, Select Botanicals Group owns the patent on that. They're not giving it out to people to grow because they make way too much money.
They do a trial. But,
They want to give it to you at trial, honestly.
They want to see how...
We've tried to get it here in Indiana, and they've shut everybody down.
Dang.
Even Hammer tried to get a trial version.
And they said it wouldn't grow well over here.
That's just what they tell you, because they don't want to give it to you because they make way too much money. But with his... he's gonna patent this idea, but we'll be able to get the flavor profile of Citra, Simcoe, Amarillo, Azaka, whatever, just by flushing the root systems with different organic extracts.
So, interesting.
I'll let Todd talk about that because I'm scienced out on that one. he's got it going on.
One thing before that, I got to know, how did you come up with the idea? Like, what made you want to start a hop farm? Because it seems like a fairly new thing in Indy.
He literally come up to me. He's like, "What do you think about a hops farm?" And I said, "Well, I don't know anything about it, but let me do a little research." And he's like, "Well, all right." And then I don't know. Before that, I don't know how he got into it, but I researched it. I was like, "It's possible. It's going to be hard work."
Farming community, farming town. My family farmed. My dad didn't, but my uncles and all them did. And I know that you cannot get into farming now unless your granddad was in farming pretty much, and you have 1,000 acres. Well, I didn't have 1,000 acres to start farming. You know, my family did, but it wasn't mine. And so I was like, we were looking, you know, my father-in-law, he's a big farmer, has a huge farm in Bartholomew County, and
Gary Meyer.
Yep, Meyer Farms.
And, he's helped us out so much.
Oh my gosh, you can't thank him enough, because like we met the first day to like grow hops or to look at a hop yard.
And, we wanted a half acre.
And my father-in-law was like, "Well, that field, boys, is 2 acres, so go big or go home. That's what I want to see out of you."
Yeah.
Well,
we weren't ready for 2 acres.
No, we definitely went off all that we could chew the first couple years. And even now, like, it's a learning curve. Because you can't go to your local co-op and be like, "What do I do?" And if I had corn and soybeans, they'd know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, but they have no clue. Now, Purdue's getting in the game. Yeah. All the extension agents, Amy Thompson from Purdue Extension, she's been a godsend. You know, she set up her and Maury Hoagland from IU, or not IU, sorry, from Purdue, have set up alpha and beta testing stuff. You can get your bugs, if you don't know what a bug is, you can have them come down and scout your yard. They'll check on anything. You have any questions, like, they're doing their best. They've contracted people from like Minnesota, Wisconsin, Idaho, Washington, Oregon, all the big boys in the game. They've contracted them for knowledge and for help, you know, cause, so they've got a little hop yard up there at Purdue called, Boiler Hop Yard or something like that. But everybody is new to the game. I mean, the oldest people, oldest farm in Indiana is probably Ryan Hammer with Crazy Horse. When he started as Three Hammers Farms, he was one of the first guys to grow hops here. He sold to Sun King, you know, once a year for a while. They'd wet hop Osiris or something. So, you know, like I said, it's been a learning curve. If something we don't know, we'll contact the other growers, and they're nothing but help. I mean, they're excellent people. And there's also a couple hop growers forums on Facebook and whatnot that
helps out
that we frequent, you know, and chances are if you have questions, if you look back, somebody's already posted it, you know, somebody's already asked that and got. And it's not just growers like us that are like new to the game. There are growers that are like 5 and 6 generation farms that are on there.
Their help.
That give you advice.
They help. They want to see us succeed.
Absolutely.
Which is crazy, you know?
Well, in today's business, they've got 20,000 acres of hops. We've got 2 acres. We're not.
And they still
don't
have competition.
What did you go to do?
They think it's neat. They actually help.
You know, that's the thing about, you know, here in Indiana. Like I said, if we have questions, they've got answers. They're like Radio Shack and, you know, it's just been such good times meeting everybody and learning as we go, which is a big thing. We've definitely learned a lot as we went. But I'll tell you what, I would put Indiana hops up against some of the big boys out, you know, in the big states, you know, the big three.
The quality flavors. is huge.
Different, yeah. You've heard the word terroir, you know, with wine, like grapes, yeah. Certain
different flavors here that we're getting out of ours. Than what they're absolutely. Getting
we're even getting different flavors at our farm, out of our Cascade, than some of the growers in, say, Indianapolis or say, you know, Valparaiso. We had some Cascade last year that tastes like banana.
Interesting.
Yeah, very. I mean, nobody else, because we put it out there and we're saying, is anybody getting banana notes out of these? And nobody. I mean, it was literally from the Cascade from our farm. And so that's something that's really nice to see that, you know, the soil, even different parts of the state, will impart a different flavor. You know, and as we go, you know, you'll be able to streamline that a little bit more and figure out, well, if you want the banana notes, plant in this kind of soil and with that, you know, however. So, but it's just one big learning curve, honestly, and we're along for the ride and having a good time.
All right. So let's go down to beer three here real fast. We'll do Dank Candy since apparently this last one's going to just ruin everything.
Wipe our palates.
So Dank Candy, yeah, number three, Rainbow Drops. Double IPA, 8% ABV. Let's see here. Is it on the back?
They usually do. I thought it was 100 IBUs.
Oh, there it is. Yep. 100 IBU. So,
yeah.
450 North. Bringing all the
killing it. This is one of my favorites.
We were going to bring it at tap, but bring a black IPA from the tap.
Yeah, but then we heard you guys.
We heard you guys on the podcast.
I'm kind of sad
because I got
been,
you next time.
It would have been
I'll
interesting
that,
to try.
Okay,
come yeah. down.
He's
going
to look at the stain on his face.
It was brewed with our hops, and you know it was that was the only reason we were wanting to bring it down.
Because I usually don't like black IPAs.
I do
honestly.
I do like black IPAs.
All right, so we got. Oh, you're still drinking your beer, so we're good.
I'm enjoying.
All right, so yeah, I enjoy it too. I just enjoy it a little bit quicker than everybody else sometimes.
Okay.
So this last one, we'll go to the last one, then we'll talk more about this indoor farm. So this is 6 Point Puff unfiltered ale. I have absolutely no idea what kind of beer this is other than a nail. So, but it is 9.8% ABV, 108 IBU. Good Lord, that is going to be happy. Yeah. So we'll give...
good
we'll
choice give for being the last try. One.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really take that into consideration when I started pouring them out.
Mm. Definitely unfiltered.
Look at that. Man, beautiful.
I like that.
You don't?
Oh, I like it.
It's plain.
I like
it. It's not bad.
That is a smooth 108.
For 108, isn't that great? A lot of beers are just bite, but yeah. This is actually smooth, has flavor, but know it's there.
It's got that liquor.
Got that sweet liquor taste.
Yep. Not what I was expecting when I read 108.
I've only had resin their double IPA.
Doesn't taste like 108, does it?
No, it sure doesn't. He's right. Smooth.
Yeah.
I like it.
If you love resin, imagine tasting it straight from the tanks. That's what Puff is. So there you go.
Glad he read it.
Unfiltered pour from the tanks with an extra dose of dry hops before it hits the cans and kegs. All right. I'll try resin now because it sounds pretty good.
I like it.
So, all right, this indoor hop farm. How did you mad scientist this one?
Oh. Well,
maybe we
have
should
a little
tell that story first.
little experience growing indoors year round aeroponically. Started out with soil and media, went to cocoa fiber and went to hydroponics, then got bored and decided let's do this right. And went to aeroponics and learned to grow produce indoors year-round.
Okay.
What we've done is, you know, I love beer and decided, you know, this is the next neat plant we should try, something that no one does indoors. And I say no one, but there are a few. You know, I've got some friends in Colorado, a couple in Michigan. There's a guy in Florida doing it. There's 13 or 14 indoor grows of hops in the U.S. right now, but they're all smaller scale.
Nobody's doing what we're doing.
What we're doing is a little different. Most of the guys that are doing it successfully, commercially, and actually selling, not playing around or testing it, are getting a longer season. By taking this plant indoors, they're able to get this plant started earlier. So before you can outdoors, before this starts budding up, you know, and sprouting. So they're getting a good 4 weeks, 6 weeks earlier indoors. They're getting a longer season outdoors at the end before harvest. And what they're doing is manipulating the light, the nutrients, etc., bulking that plant up. So we've taken that idea and we've turned that, played around with it with aeroponics, where we're giving that plant everything it needs and only what it needs, not confusing the plant with nutrients and minerals, vitamins that it doesn't actually absorb, use, burn to grow. And turning this, we're dividing this up into different phases, and we have a nursery area, a separate growth area or vegetative state, and then we tell it when it can cone or bloom and flower. And what we do is we run this. We have a cycle of the right atmosphere with oxygen, temperature, carbon dioxide, humidity. We take a look at the water temperatures, the pH levels, the nutrients, the minerals, and we feed this through each cycle above and beyond what nature can do outdoors.
Okay.
We're giving this thing organic and natural fertilizers and nutrients, so it's pure. What we're finding out is we're getting bigger hop cones, heavier oil and acid levels, flavors that will blow you away. We also have the ability...
Introducing flavors.
Love it. We can actually take and infuse organic flavors and flavorings into the hop cone, brings it right up the branch into the cones themselves, and you smell it. You want a blueberry, a sour apple, you want a grapefruit, a citrus, whatever. And like, Aaron mentioned earlier, it's all natural. It's nothing unnatural. But we're able to take a cascade. We can do it on the market and give it 15 to 18 different flavors. Can't do that outdoor. Why? The media, the soil, the whatever, filters that out. And by doing indoor growing, water gardening, we can purify that product and give these brewers, the people that make the beer that we like to drink, the chance to give us more beers, more flavors. So we take that little Crayola box of 12 crayons and we give them that 256 box. Doesn't exist.
A12
is doing this. And we have a huge building down south hidden right now that is getting built out. We've proven this, tested this, done it, and we are the first to market.
Nice.
Very soon.
I'll tell you something really cool. This will blow your mind. Outdoor yards, let's say everything went 100% according to plan, right? Your weather, your fertilizer, everything. No bugs, whatever. On a 20-foot tall trellis system, you would be looking at a max yield per plant, probably somewhere between 3.5 to 5 pounds per plant on a 20-foot tall plant.
Okay.
Indoors, you're looking at 8 to 10 pounds on a 8 to 10 foot plant.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's ridiculous. I mean, granted, you're spending some money on some lights.
It's expensive.
And your electric bill is through the roof, but when you're getting 8 to 10 pounds per plant,
yeah,
and it's pure
on a 10 foot plant, and it's got some crazy flavor.
And you're offering the time, if the brewers, we can give them the time.
Yeah, absolutely. We're cycling.
We sell hops now, like wet hops. We have to give them a window. Sometime about here to there, they'll be ready. Okay. Yep. With Todd's program, we'll call a brewery and be like, hey, in exactly 30 days, you ready for, and we can dial down a schedule.
Nice.
With a brewery.
That's pretty cool.
To wet hop them year round.
Yeah.
And then we'll also.
But it's going to be a little more pricey because.
Yes, definitely more pricey.
The overhead's going to be more there. I mean, it's not like they're going to go get their $3.50 pound of
not even
Galaxy
close.
From Yakima Chief. We're not even selling that like that at 812. We wouldn't have a business model if
So now those proprietary blends, they usually have a more premium price even from the big guys.
I don't know. I saw it right on like Snapchat.
$3.99
a pound for a Galaxy or something like that. I don't remember the exact.
That's probably 2014.
Probably some old dried out stuff.
Some old
stores
left in the back of the cooler.
So
So how many breweries in Indiana do you guys work with?
Let's see here.
And that'll take us.
We've worked with 450 North. We work with them every year.
Donham Day was our first.
Donham Day, yeah. Donham Day out of New Albany was our first.
Okay.
Which I think Donham Day means like gift of the gods, I think, honestly.
And he's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. Richard's a great guy.
And you need to, yeah.
You guys need to make a southern trip and check out some of the breweries.
That's on the plan.
So cool.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like he fabricated New all Albanian. His own systems out of old milk. Cow, you know, like a dairy farm.
He built milk just a complete brew system and walk-in cooler and everything. Walk-in coolers, he's an engineer.
Okay.
These two AC units and, you know, everything's handmade. So it just, the people you meet, like you said, is awesome.
Super cool.
That's awesome.
So we've worked with 450 North. We've worked with Donham Day. We work with those two every year. We work with a tap every year. 100%. We work with a tap multiple times a year. 100%. The tap.
Jared May.
Jared May, the brewer, and the owner, Nate.
The tap is my go-to place in Indy. The one downtown.
That's super cool. I mean, their beer selection, 18 different beers at all times, and, you know, and it rotates, and you get some crazy flavors and some crazy different beers.
He's a great guy.
But you've also got your staples, and their Bionic Dragon, that IPA.
That is...
is ridiculous.
I would put that up there as one of the best IPAs.
I love it. It just ticks me off. I can't get it in the liquor store.
Yeah.
You know?
Really? Yep.
No, yep. They don't can or bottle nothing.
Yep. You can only get it there.
No growler only.
That and the, is it Bluebeard, I think, is their blueberry sour.
Yeah.
You got to try our farmhouse that goes there every year. Our farmhouse ale.
I'm huge on farmhouse ales right now.
I remember the podcast.
Oh, God. Every place I go, it's like, you got a farmhouse ale? I'm going to drink it.
Make a harvest IPA with him every year. Yeah. We made a lager, which I'd never even had an India pale lager. We made one of those with a tap.
That was good.
Called Permafrost.
Real good.
Interesting.
Now, most times when you have your hops, okay, you can sell them wet, and they'll wet hop a beer, right? And those need to go from buying the kettle in less than a day. Most times we like to have them there a few hours later.
And they'll brown.
Then you can dry them down to 10 or 12% moisture. And vacuum seal them. And that's called whole cone hops. Then you got the pelletized, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But last year, I had a big styrofoam cooler. You know, like one of those ones that you'd ship Omaha steaks in?
Yeah.
And I had about, I don't know, 10 or 12 pounds just left over that I ran out of bags to I already had the dryer full, and I already had my bags were gone. And I was like, well, screw it. I'll just put them in there and put them in my freezer. Okay.
Every hop farmer
on that farm will tell you that not to freeze hops.
Don't freeze your hops. Whatever.
But I put them in an insulated styrofoam cooler. I don't know if that made a difference. I'm not sure. But throughout the year, I'd go out there and I'd grab a handful and put them in a Ziploc bag because I wet hop my beer at the house all the time.
Get a glass at his house. He'll throw cone in.
I throw
totally different beer. Give it 10 minutes.
Wet hop your beer.
Wow.
Unreal.
So when they contacted us to want to make a lager, they said, what do you got? And I said, well, I got these pellets. And I don't know if you're interested, but I got these. I'll sell them to you at a way discount price. You know, they're frozen. And like, I've always heard that's not good. And he's like, bring it on. We'll try it. And so we did it. Took them over there. It was amazing. They called it permafrost because, you know, frozen hops.
Yeah.
They called it permafrost. And it was an India Pale Lager. And I don't like lagers. I'm not a big lager fan. Like, yeah, I'm an ale fan and I'm an IPA fan. But I would drink that stuff all day long.
It's decently good. I mean, really good.
It's a hoppy lager, pretty much. It was really, really good.
I enjoyed it.
And it sold out. It's a boat beer, man. Like, it was a big... You kind of get the best of both worlds. You got people that are like, oh, I don't like those. I don't like IPAs, but I like a little bit like hoppy wheat. Like, hoppy wheats are big. You know, people love those. And so kind of got the best of both worlds. There you got your IPA fans that liked it. Then you got your lager, you know, your light beer or whatever, lager fans that were like, eh, it's pretty good. And shoot, it sold out.
No time.
Less than a month, I think.
Jeez.
You know, and
I went twice in 1 month to get drink it, and that's not.
They got like a 13 barrel system, and, you know, so it went pretty quick. But yeah, the tap. They're just,
I love it.
They're doing big things.
Well, Jared teaches us a lot too. I mean, he's like a mad scientist.
We brew with him, man. Like, he's all awesome. The time, and
he's nice. Awesome.
They are the reason. If you get a Bonnet Dragon on January 1st, and then you went back and you got one on December 31st, a year later, this is exactly the same. The reason why, they are so consistent and methodical about cleaning. Like, if three people are there brewing, usually at all times, right?
Mm-hmm.
If one person's not stirring the paddle, then the other two people are out there, like, cleaning material, putting it in caustic, cleaning it off, spraying it off, spraying the floor down, keeping everything wiped down, cleaning the mash tun out, cleaning the kettle.
Excellent,
out.
Excellent operation.
Like, it's crazy. Like,
I mean, that's
and that's what it takes.
We brewed with a bunch of people before, and like, they never did that. And then we brewed with them. And we're like,
Oh.
No, we've got to do this. This is wow. You want you it to be it. Proper. You know, yeah. You want it to be good, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's very professional. You know, a lot of people kind of crap on Sun King because they put out the same three beers and it's just like, it tastes the same. But it's like, that's the thing. It never changes.
That's a supposed to.
You get a cream ale today versus 6 years from now, it's probably going to taste exactly the same. Absolutely. And that's what you want.
That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, you want it to always be the same. You don't want it to be different. You don't ever hear about bad batches out of there. No. Like, there's a reason that they do it right. So that's nice to hear that there's other people out there who
really cool. I would suggest going down there and check it out. It's
yeah, we're gonna make a southern trip. That's on the plans after our northern trip.
We've got a lot
of
good breweries right now.
Yeah, you know? Got to put Dustin on a food program though if we're gonna go down there.
I'm not got a lot again. Of good food.
We've also worked with Upland.
Oh, okay.
We've worked with Powerhouse Brewing in Columbus. We've worked with, who am I missing?
A lot of good things coming with Powerhouse.
Basket Case. Rich is now with Brooklyn, or Seymour Brewing
Company. Twisted Crew.
Sold their brewing system to their landlord who owned
pizza
that
place. Pizza place.
Oh, phenomenal. Handmade sauce, handmade pizza dough, handmade everything.
He got the brewer
and
from Powerhouse.
He got Powerhouse, got rich.
They've been friends for a long time. And he came down and they're starting.
They're playing. I've been in there. They can't sell yet. They're playing around, waiting on that final permit. Should be this week. And their beers are going to be off.
That's our process.
Right, so we just hung out with Twisted Crew yesterday.
Yeah,
oh, Josh
and Terry. Josh, such a good dude. Yeah, yeah. And they're hoping to get back in the game here soon. We can't say a lot, but they're hoping to get back in the game.
Yeah, that's what
we hope. We wish them well.
Yeah, they're when it went down, I asked him about it, and he kind of told me kind of what happened, and basically said that but we got some stuff in the works.
They do.
They
do. Yeah, so we can't wait.
We're still down there practicing. It's all good. Getting everything refined. I think what he was saying was he's refining everything, all the beer. The flavors,
yeah,
you know, what everybody does.
Yeah, that works. I mean, as long as we got good beer coming out,
that's what we want. That's
welcome.
The whole reason we do this,
exactly.
Drink good beer.
We've also worked with Tin Man in Evansville.
Oh, okay.
And Taroni's in Evansville. It's
I've not heard of that.
Well, they don't distribute. They have a pizza.
I like it.
A pizza brew pub. They have three.
Seems
of them.
To be a common thing in Indiana.
Pizza and beer.
Pizza brew.
It is a damn good combination. But they have three locations in the greater.
Amazing pizza, amazing beer.
Swans,
right?
Yeah.
That's Columbus. They're fire. But that tournament, they've got three locations in the greater Evansville area.
Okay.
And they got a 7-barrel system, and they brew 5 days a week. I mean, they do pretty good. You know, Josh, their brewer down there, I don't know his last name, but he's a good dude. And, they brew 5 days a week, and they keep those three pizza places. Every time you go, every pizza place has got, seven or eight taps.
Jeez.
So they keep it pretty stocked with all three locations, and they're pretty big. I mean,
it's a good place. A
couple hundred people seating, you know, in the whole restaurant. Okay. You know? So that's all three of them. Nice. You know, Evansville. So you ever been to Evansville? It's
a couple
so
times.
Spread out. I always ask, where's downtown? And they're like, this is downtown.
Yeah.
And you're like, what do you mean? You know, it's so spread out. So I've always wondered if that's why Tin Man had a kind of a rough time down there, which. He's wearing a Fall City shirt, so they now own Tin Man.
Yep, yeah.
And he's got good connections with them. But, I always wondered if that was why they didn't do so well, because it was so spread out. But I wonder if that's why Taroni's has put in three different locations to be able to maximize their exposure for the
that
whole
makes sense.
Big city. And it's a big city, but it's so spread out. It's like Indianapolis wide, you know? So those breweries right there, there's a few more. I just can't remember their names. About 10 or 12 breweries, I'd say.
That's pretty cool, though.
With, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
We're actually brewing with a Doom Brewery on, not tomorrow, Monday, but Monday the, what's that, the 24th? Yeah. With Basket Case and Jasper.
Oh, okay.
We're making
I don't know beer. If I've ever had their beer.
I've never been there. I've had their beer at festivals. It's really good beer. They have a good IPA, and that's what we're going to make together as an IPA for the festival. Their season of festivals. Because they want to have some beer ready for, they're going to be at Hoosier Hops and Harvest Fest Astoria, and they want to be able to pour a beer. Wow. We'll have our beer there at Hoosier Hops. We'll have Donham Day will have a beer of ours there at Hoosier Hops. The Tap will have a beer of ours at Hoosier Hops, and then Basket Case will have a beer with our hops.
which works out because I live a mile up the road from Story, so it's like okay. And he lives like 10
stagger
miles.
Home.
So it's really good that it's like hometown pride. You know what I mean?
Right.
Having our, you know, Joe and I's beer and our hops and, you know, a bunch of, you know, at our hometown festival.
Yeah. You realize that that's Brown County boys. We stick together. We like Brown County, Nashville, and because, you know, that's what our hometown thrives on is, mm-hmm. you know, bringing people down there to a small town that has a lot to offer.
So. Definitely. Definitely.
That's what we're going to do at the brewery. And we want a destination
because it's, yeah. The brewery is not like next to anything. It's out in the middle of a, you know, field. You
it's
know?
A golf course.
You know,
but it's within a mile and a half of like 15 factories that run three shifts a day.
There you go.
Right next to the interstate.
Literally zero places to eat except the gas station.
Mile and a half off 65.
Or a mile and a half
off. So it's easy to get to. Doesn't matter if you're coming from south in Louisville, north in Indy, wherever.
It's a great place.
Easy access.
Okay.
But neat place.
Yeah, once that's up and running.
Beautiful.
We'll definitely be down.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Anything else you want people to know about the farm or about what's coming up?
I definitely want people to know about the Hoosier Hops and Harvest Fest.
Okay. You said that was August 26th?
August 26th. September 16th is Nabrew in Brown County. Great festival. Live music.
I've not been there, but I've seen the photos.
I'll get you guys
the stories.
I'll have you guys tickets. Absolutely.
Okay.
We get sponsorship tickets. And so I'll have
okay. bring yeah, a friend so they can drive you home.
Yeah, that ain't gonna happen.
Looks like he's married.
Yeah, the wife's not. She won't even come pick me up here, and it's like a 20-minute drive. If I she's like, no,
that
you're
sounds
gonna
like our wives. We were gonna have them drop us off, and they're like, no, you guys can drive up there and drive home. That's fine.
Like we're going to Flat 12 next Saturday for their big Christmas in July.
Oh, yeah,
and she was like, no, you're on your own. I'm like, wait, I don't want to spend $40 on Uber. You're like, sorry,
come on,
sorry about you. I got plans.
Fine.
Yeah. So, no, well, I'll bring Dustin. Dustin has been wanting to go.
Awesome.
And he talked about trying to possibly get tickets.
Worth a trip.
Yeah, don't worry about tickets. We'll have you guys
covered. We'll be there.
Cool. We'll be that, there. And then September 23rd is Corn Maze. And you guys said you'd be there, right?
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, that's the plan. All
did you guys go last year?
Nope. Oh, nope. I was out
super
of town.
Fun. Super fun.
Yeah.
We had a booth there last year. We had some hop candy.
That just looks fun. So let me ask you, because I forgot to ask people, do they have like built-in dead ends? With just like bar or brewery setup,
You got to find the breweries in there. Yeah,
that's smart.
Yeah, was it like 40 breweries spread out through it? Is what they said.
Yeah,
that's you like win.
40 or 45.
Dead end with a beer.
Nice,
that's great.
That's awesome.
We went to the beer dinner.
We went to 450 had a beer dinner at Story Inn actually on Friday that Joe and I went to, and they were talking about
explaining everything this year. It's like
45 brewers, I think.
40, 45 brewers, and it's going to be all spread out through, and you're going to be getting lost, and there's a brewer back in the back, you know. Hopefully everybody finds everybody.
That's what I said last year. I was like, I wonder how long it takes for someone to just go through the corn. Like, just go off-road and through it.
We went last year before they opened, like, we were there at, like, you know, 9 o'clock setting up, and I don't think people started filtering in until, like, noon or something, but... They let us go through and check it out, and we hit up a bunch of breweries and stuff, and it's not fine sober. It's fine sober. I don't know how people react when they get a little bit of a buzz.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's definitely... Nobody goes but to them by themselves.
Honestly. Right. Usually. I could just see someone being like, all right, I'm just going to figure it out and just walks
walking
through.
This way.
Yeah.
Yep. We saw a bunch of people.
I'll see you guys on the other side.
I can hear people over there. I'm just walking through the corn, you know?
And, yep.
You know, yeah. So they did that.
Screw this.
No, it's such a good time. And Brad Brookbank, he works for...
Oh, gosh. Love it. 450
North. He's one of their head sales guys. It's actually his baby. It's his idea.
Is he the guy who's always at the festivals?
Yeah.
Marketing.
Okay.
Kind of little beard.
Yep.
Short.
Yep.
He's a nice guy.
Okay.
Super fun.
Yeah. He's one of the guys that we have on the list to get on the show.
So. Oh, he's super cool, man.
He's
great dude. Good. But yeah, he that's his idea.
It's just so smart. Like there are just some that you see and you're like, eh, it's just another beer festival. And I saw that one last year. I was like, they pull that off. Like, that's just genius.
Then they got the licensing rights to show Children of the Corn on a big screen, like a projection screen. Afterwards, so they had like a you know a party after the beer fest, like all night selling food and beer, you know, whatever. And they showed Children of the Corn on a projection screen.
That's smart.
Oh, it was super cool. Yeah, they definitely got it rocking down there. So that's crazy. Definitely hope you guys make it for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We'll be in the center. We'll probably be beside you guys. They always put us beside 450 North and was it Ale Force 1? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the giant bus.
Yeah, the giant bus. I love that thing. So, yeah, we'll be in the center ring probably Okay. Right beside you guys, actually.
All right. Yeah, we'll be there, and we'll put that up on the site, too, just so that way everybody
awesome.
Find that, get tickets and stuff. Well, thank you guys for coming up. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having
us. Appreciate us.
Definitely. Sure. Definitely. Cool. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Once you guys get the brewery going.
Thank you, Brad.
once you guys get the brewery going, we'll definitely get you back on here so we can excellent. Sample some of
excellent.
Those beers.
Sweet. Absolutely. Sweet. Excellent.
So I guess the last thing would be social media, stuff like that. Where can people find you?
So on Twitter, we are at 812Farms, and that's the numbers 812.
Spelled out.
And then on Instagram, we're 812Farms, but that's spelled out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spell the words 812Farms all the way out. And then we're on Facebook at 812Farms as well.
Okay.
So we're on the big three.
All right. And you guys don't have a website or anything, just the social media?
Just social media.
Okay.
He's working on a website.
Yeah, okay. So as far as people listening right now, you know, right now, 812Farms, we're selling directly to breweries. Mm-hmm. We are going to go ahead and jump into the home brewer market.
Oh, nice.
And we're going to do smaller packages.
Couple of stores, yeah.
You know, to get fresh, wet hops, you got to grow it yourself if you're a home mm-hmm. brewer. It just doesn't happen. And we're going to go ahead and start packaging in small amounts and gear it to the home brewer, you know, someone local. Next day or delivery, right to you, ready to go. Throw it in your kettle, that's and you can cool. start making your own.
Nice.
Move up. That's where our breweries come from, is the guys at home, in the garage, in the kitchen, making beer. That's the next brewery. So we are going to serve that market. It's coming up. We've got hophouseinternational.com. Which is
spell
the
that. Spell that house out.
House.
That's German.
It's
German.
H-A-U-S. Yeah, so no. Hophouse, H-O-P-H-A-U-S, international.com. That will be changing to the hopguys.com like in the next couple weeks.
Nice.
And it's already, the website's basically finished building. So we're getting all the ordering, all the pay methods, everything's all getting finished up right now. Marketing people have it going. And you know what? We're going to serve those people too. We talked about it and we thought, you know, we're going to do brewery. And we stepped back and said, where do breweries come from?
Yep.
It's guys that brew some stuff at home. Yeah.
We're actually going to
So we want to do that.
Packaging pellets as well. We have a meeting. I have a meeting Thursday with Blooming Foods, which is kind of like an independent community owned grocery store in Bloomington.
Mm-hmm.
They want to start providing some Indiana grown. Because we're Indiana grown. You know what Indiana grown is?
Mm-hmm.
It's a new campaign with the State Agriculture Board about identifying companies and farms and whatever that grow their product or make their product here in Indiana. And it's kind of that craft brewer seal we're talking about. It's like a little base seal for Indiana grown. And so Blooming Foods has been talking to them. They want some Indiana grown companies. They want to have some hops because they're in Bloomington. They got a lot of home brewers over there.
Absolutely.
And then also we've been talking to Great Fermentations about supplying them with like some 1, 2, and 4 ounce packages of pellets, T90 style. So yeah, that's something that we're working on here in the next couple weeks.
Awesome.
Trying to stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
We definitely will be.
And then for all the listeners out there, you can find Indiana On Tap Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at IOT On Air. And then you can find us on iTunes at Indiana On Tap Podcast. Make sure you subscribe. Leave us a review. Even if it's not 5 stars, just let us know what you think. Hey, I'm cool with that. If you think it's a 1-star show. If it's a 1-star show, it's a 1-star show. But leave us some reviews. And then on Android, I have no idea how you find us on Android.
Beyond Pod.
All right. So Aaron uses Beyond Pod.
Right there.
There you go. So use Beyond Pod. You can find us there, Indiana On Tap Podcast. Leave us reviews on there. We'll never see them because I don't know how you even view those. But go ahead and leave us reviews. And with that, we will see you guys
Thank
here
you.
In a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.